John chapter 3. In the book of John chapter 3, if you're here and you've never been saved tonight, would you do me a favor and do yourself a favor? And if you have your Bible, you read with me as we read these scriptures. And if you don't have a Bible, and somebody sitting nearby you has one, would you just share it with them? If you have a Bible and you know someone next to you is lost and without Jesus Christ as their Savior, would you just share your Bible with them and let them read for themselves what the Word of God says? In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, "And as," and that means just like, in the same manner, "as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so," in the same way, "must the Son of Man be lifted up, that," or "in order that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," or anyone "who believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look in verse 18 of John chapter 3. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now in verse 36 of John 3, "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now turn with me, if you will, to the book of John chapter 11. And I want to read verses 25 and 26. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Now look with me in John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you," listen, sinner friend, "these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ," the anointed one or the appointed one of God, "the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." You notice how many times the word believeth, believe, in these verses of Scripture are used. Look with me in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 now, And I want you to read this with me, and then we'll get directly into the message. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him or to please God. For, now listen to this, or that word for means because, for he that cometh to God must believe. If you're planning to get to where God is, then you must believe. You must believe. Whoever you are in this room tonight, there is no other way to God except that you must believe. It does not say that you ought to try to believe, but you must believe. And if you don't get anything else tonight, I hope that you'll never be able to forget that God Himself said that he that cometh to God must believe. You must believe. If you want to be saved tonight, if you want to be made right with God, if you want your sins to be forgiven, if you want eternal life, if you want to be set free from the penalty and the power and even the presence of sin forever, you must believe. Think about that. Consider it tonight. It'll be one of the most important things that you've ever heard in your life. You must believe, folks. You must. I cannot believe it for you. You cannot believe it for me. The preacher cannot believe it. Mom and dad cannot believe it. Brother or sister cannot believe it. Children cannot believe it for mother and father. Every one of us have the same responsibility tonight. You must believe. That's what I want you to think about tonight, all during this message, because that's the only message I have for you. You must believe. You must believe. You're going to hear it ringing in your ears until this message is over. And I hope that by the power of God, that same ringing you hear in your ears now will get into your heart and your soul and stir you up and cause you to turn to God by the way of repentance toward God because of who you are and what you are, and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith. You must believe. You must believe. First of all, if you're going to be saved tonight, or if you're ever going to be saved, you must believe that God is your maker and that God holds your life and your death and all that you are in His mighty hand. You are not your own person. God made you, and God allows you to breathe His air tonight, walk on His earth, eat His food, drink His water, and enjoy His mercies upon you. That's why you're alive tonight. And if you're going to be saved tonight, you must believe that God is your maker, and that He has the right to demand of you to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of His only begotten Son, that you might be saved. If you think that you can be saved without God, if you think that you can have eternal life without acknowledging God for who He really is, you'll never be saved. You'll be lost forever. You'll be separated from God forever. I didn't quit reading in Hebrews 11, verse 6, because I was finished, but because I want to read it to you now. Listen to what he says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For or because he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You must believe that God is. In other words, when God, or when the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed Himself to the children of Israel, He told Moses to tell him that I am has sent me unto you. If you're going to be saved tonight, if you're going to be right with God, you must believe that God is everything you need right now in order to be saved. You're not going to worry about good works. You're not going to worry about church membership. You're not going to worry about being baptized. What you're going to do is see God for who He is. He is the one who can pardon you. He is the one that can justify you. He is the one that can set you free or leave you in your condemned and hell-bound condition right now. But you must believe that He is the sovereign, that He is the one who rules and reigns over all. You must believe that God is the sovereign, the holy, the righteous God. Anything else is sin. I do not believe that there is an old man up there in heaven. The old man in heaven, they say. God is exactly as He's always been. God is right now not only who He has been, but He shall always be who He is right now. He never changes. And you must believe that God is everything you need tonight in order to be saved, and that He holds your life. My friend, the very next breath you enjoy is a gift from God. You do not deserve it. You have not merited it. You cannot purchase it. God has given it unto you, and you're not here by accident tonight. God, in His mighty divine providence, has worked it out where each step you have taken, you have arrived here safely. You are sitting where you're sitting, and you're hearing what you're hearing because God has directed it to you tonight. And God will hold you responsible for what you hear right now. He will hold you responsible for what He has said unto you, whether you want to believe it or not. You must believe. You must believe that, folks. Whoever you are, you must believe that great truth, that anyone that comes to God must believe that He is. Can you believe that this evening? Can you believe that God has a right to demand of you as it pleases Him? You believe that? Listen, when you were born into this world, you were born into this world at an appointed time. God had already appointed the time, the day, the week, the month, the hour, the year, and the very place, the very country, the very family into which you were born. He has a right to command you, to demand of you right now, to repent of your sins toward Him and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And He shall surely hold you responsible for what you do with that tonight. Jesus said, "Believest thou this?" I'm asking you, do you believe that tonight? That you're going to give an account to the Almighty God for what you do with this message tonight. You must believe. If you are to be saved tonight, you must believe that God is holy and will not accept anything less from you. That God is absolute holiness. That God is absolute perfection. That God is without spot or blemish. That God is holiness, and the beauty of holiness is found in our Almighty God. And God will accept nothing from you but holiness. You must believe that. You must believe. Your works. You say, "Well, Brother Hall, I came to church tonight. Doesn't that count anything?" Not for your salvation, it doesn't. This may be the hour in which you're saved before this service is over. But your works and your deeds in this life are as filthy rags in the sight of God. The Bible says our righteousnesses or our good works are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Why, Brother Hall, I gave $500 in the offering plate last week. If you're not saved, if you're not willing to believe, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that was just like filthy rags in the sight of God. He doesn't need your money. You need His salvation. You'll not be set free from your sin. You'll not be set free from your guilt. You'll have no pardon. You'll have no justification. You'll have no sanctification. You'll never have a place in the very presence of God when this life is over, except that you believe that God is holy and you must meet His holy standard. You must believe. If you're going to be saved. Thirdly, if you're to be saved tonight, you must believe that you are the guilty sinner. You are the guilty sinner. Do you know who this message is primarily for this evening? It's for you, the guilty sinner. The guilty sinner. It's not for the good one. It's not for those who say that they're righteous. It's not for those who say, "Well, I'm not as bad as some." But this message is primarily for those who are here this evening who know and believe that they are the guilty sinner. You must believe that you are the guilty sinner. Take a look tonight. Think about it. Be honest about it tonight in the presence of God. Be honest not only with God, but be honest with yourself tonight. If you're here and lost and in your sins, what's the problem? Why are you lost? Why are you without God? Why are you without Christ Jesus? Why are you without hope? Why are you helpless tonight? Why are you facing such a dreaded and terrible end when this life is over? It's because of who you are. You are the guilty sinner. And I hope you understand this. But you can't help that right now. You were born in that condition. You were born a sinner. You were born of a mother and a father that could only produce a sinful nature, a sinful person. And you can't help that. But you can be free. And you can be saved. And you can be right with God. And the Bible says over and over again, you must believe. But the Bible also says that Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. I've never read yet where the Bible says that Jesus Christ ever died for the godly or for the good ones. He died for the ungodly ones. He died for those who were born into this world unlike God. He died for those, He suffered, bled, and died for those who were born into this world exactly the opposite of God. Who were born into this world speaking lies from the very moment they were separated from their mother's womb. You can't help what you are right now, but God can help you out of that condition by a new birth. God has the power to do something for you that no one else is able to do, and that is to give you life that you never had before, to bring about a new birth within your very heart and soul by the power of His Holy Spirit. But you must believe. You must believe that you are the sinner before God. So many folks tonight get it all backwards. Understand me again, folks. I'll say it as plainly and as slowly as I can. You are not the sinner against God because you sin. But you sin against God because you are the sinner. Because you were born that way. And you live that way. You were not only born that way, but you choose to be the sinner you are tonight. You say, no, no, not me, Brother Hall. I want to be good. Then why don't you? Why don't you? If that's what you choose. Because when you get right down to it, you don't choose to be good. You don't choose to be righteous. You're a sinner by choice. You choose to be. You are a sinner by practice. Do you know why you practice sin tonight? Because you are the sinner. You are the sinner. And so you practice what you are. You practice sinning against God. That's why you need to be saved more than anything else in all of this world. Listen to me. If I never get to say anything else to you, I want to tell you one more time that you must believe. You must believe that you are the guilty sinner before God. You deserve to die. You deserve to die, folks. Listen to me. You say, oh, Brother Hall, don't use that word. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'm going to tell you something that's worse than dying going to hell. I'm going to tell you something that's worse than dying and going to hell, folks. And that is to die without Jesus Christ as your Savior and go into a lake of fire that burns forever and ever, being separated from God forever. There's something far worse than suffering in a lake of fire that burns forever and ever, where the soul never dies and the fire is never quenched. And that is to be separated eternally from God. There's not a one of us in this room that knows what that's like tonight. That's the reason we're still breathing. That's why we're still hearing. That's why you can still see and feel, is because you're not separated from the eternal presence of God. But if God should so desire, you would be separated from Him forever and ever as the guilty sinner that you are. And you certainly would be cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever. You would never pay for your sins, but you will suffer forever and ever because of sin, because of who you are, what you have done against the righteous and holy God. Fourthly, if you're to be saved tonight, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. It'd be a terrible message if all I had to tell you was that you're lost and there's no hope for you. In spite of who you are, in spite of what you are, in spite of what you're not able to do, God has provided a way for you to be saved tonight. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Believest thou this? Do you believe the words of Jesus Christ? He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But you see, there is a way in which you, the guilty sinner, can come to God. Amen. And recognize Him as your Father and be known as His Son. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the only way. He is the way, the only way. They tell me that in the Greek language, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, it actually simply means this. Jesus said, I am the way, the only way. I am the life, the only life. I am the truth, the only truth. Can you not believe that Jesus Christ is the way to be saved tonight? There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. But God is offering unto you tonight, guilty sinner, eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus is the way. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit agreed that God the Father would send His Son into the world, that He would be born of a virgin, that He would be raised up, and that He would go forth, and that He would live the righteous and the holy life that guilty sinners are demanded of God to live. And that God the Father would be pleased to take the very life that His Son lived in His presence, holy and righteous, without sin, without spot or blemish. And that He would put that kind of a life, that righteous life, to my account. That the Father would be pleased to take all my sins and all my sin debt and lay them to the account of His only begotten Son and hang Him on that which is called the cross of Calvary. And God the Father would allow mankind to do whatever their hearts desired to do unto His Son. And then when they were finished, God laid His hand upon His own Son and paid Him and caused Him to pay, rather, that which I owed. He paid the price that sinners might go free. And I'm here to tell you that He came to save sinners just like you. Just like you, folks. He doesn't save any other kind. But if He saved one, He can save another. Because the blood of Jesus Christ never loses its power. It never loses its power. It's able to take a filthy, confused, dirty, rotten sinner and cleanse him from all of his sins. Cleanse him from all of his sins and set him free. Do you believe that? I believe that tonight because I've seen it work in my own life, in my own soul. Jesus is the way to salvation tonight, sinner friend. You've heard it, haven't you? You've heard it. He that cometh to God must believe that He is everything they need in order to be saved. If you're saved tonight, you go back to that experience that you had in your salvation. And you may have not recognized it then, because I didn't either. But now that it's all over, and I've heard a little bit more about how it happened or what happened, I can tell you, when I look back at it, I was saved when I repented of my sins and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I knew that, but that's all I knew. When I went to work the next morning and began to tell those fellas that I was saved, I couldn't tell them everything that I can tell you tonight, because I didn't know all about it. All I knew is that I repented of my sins and received Jesus as my Savior. I knew I was saved. But now that I look back on it, here's how I see it. Here's how it was. At that moment's time, in Evansville, Indiana, on Michigan Street, one evening in my living room sitting on the couch, I never saw it before. I'd heard about it. Preachers had come and told me about it. But I'd never really heard it nor seen it. But in a moment's time, and it was all over before I knew exactly what all was going on, that by faith, I believed with all my heart, with everything about me, that Jesus Christ died for me. I believed. I didn't believe for anyone else. I wasn't even concerned about anyone else at that time. I wasn't even worried about anyone else at that time. And I certainly wasn't worried about being baptized or joining the church or doing anything good. I was concerned about my soul's need to be free and to be right with God. And I saw Jesus Christ by faith as everything I needed to settle that. I believed that God said it, and that settled it.
that God said it. And that settled it. You must believe. He that believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And the wrath of God abideth upon him. He shall not see life. The Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. When John in chapter 20 said, but these are written that you might believe. Now listen to me. These things are written that you might believe. What I have preached to you tonight has been preached in order that you might believe that Jesus is. Do you notice that, what John said? He said, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You must believe that Jesus Christ is. Everything you need in order to be saved. Whenever you see the name Jesus with the title of Christ that follows, that word Christ means that Jesus is the appointed one. He is the appointed one. That God has only appointed one Savior for sinners, and that is His only begotten Son, the Son of God Himself, Jesus Christ. You must believe that Jesus is the appointed Savior for you. He's the one that God has appointed for you tonight, if you believe. If you're willing to acknowledge yourself as the guilty, hell-deserving sinner that you are, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God settled it, and that settled it, that you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is. There it is again. I know whom I have persuaded and believe that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You must believe. You must believe. I cannot tell you to do anything else. You must believe. Jesus said, repent, 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 and believe the gospel. And I have told you tonight what God has laid on my heart to tell you. I've gone as far as I can go with you tonight, sinner friend. I cannot go any further. I've gone as far as God would allow me to go to preach to you. You must believe. You must believe what the Word of God teaches us about your condition and your need and the way of salvation. But you can be saved right now. You can be saved and set free right where you sit. You don't have to come down and take the preacher by the hand. Can if you want to, if you need help. I'm not saying that, but you can be saved right where you're at. And then you can come down and tell us, and we'll rejoice with you. But don't go out of here tonight until you've done something about your lost condition. And the Bible says you must believe. You must believe if you are to be saved. Turn from your sins toward God and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must believe that. If you're here and saved tonight, you should have already been praying for those that are lost among us. You ought to be pleading in their behalf that God would be pleased to cause them to see what they must do. Give them the grace to do it. If you're here and saved tonight and you can't pray for them, and if you haven't prayed for them, then you need to repent of your sins and get right with God where you can pray for them. If you can sit in a service like this tonight with the presence and the power of the Almighty God moving through the midst, if you can sit there and have no feelings, no burden for those who are still here without Christ, you're either backslidden or deceived about being saved. What is it tonight? Did you come with that right spirit? Are you ready to see the Spirit of God work and move in the hearts and lives of those that are lost, of those that are backslidden? It's not going to hurt you to plead in their behalf before God because you love them, because you care for Jesus' sake. As we stand and as we sing a hymn of invitation, won't you come to Jesus? Won't you come to Him just as you are and believe the Word of God? Brother Titus will come. You don't have to be afraid to come. You may say, Brother Hall, I'm not sure about all of this, but I sure am troubled. There's something going on within me that I don't understand. I know how it is. I know how that is. But I'm pleading with you tonight that I went a long time in that condition and I never told anybody. And I just wrestled with it and I tried to live with it and tried to run away from it for a long time and never had anybody to talk to about it. But not so with you tonight. There are those who will talk to you. Those who will pray with you, those who will pray for you right now, if you're willing to come. Would you come trusting Him as your Savior as we sing?